Vodka O'Clock.
Hey everyone, it's Amber Love and you're listening to Vodka O'Clock Podcast from AmberUnmasked.com. So today is one of my dearest friends, Mark Stegbauer, who's a comic book artist, and finally wrangled him onto the show because he's ridiculously busy all the time. So Mark's finally agreed to be here. And but don't forget, we can be explicit, and the website is explicit, so if you're under 18, you probably shouldn't be here. So, Mark, welcome aboard to the crazy train.
Oh, thank you. Finally, nice to be here. You know, after too many, times of not being able to come on and all that sort of stuff. So it's like, hey, look, so I actually have time to do something.
I know. I was really, really surprised when you said that you had a Saturday available.
Well, I usually do. I mean, I've been lucky that I kind of am able to get most weekends off now from work. But I usually spend it like with my fiance and we have our daughter. It's like, okay, family weekend, let's go do stuff, and that's pretty much what all our whole summer's been. And apart from when I've had the occasional show here and there, and things where it's like, okay, the weather sucks, well, let's do some stuff here at home. But it's kind of like one of those rare times where it's like, hey, I have time to do stuff. So
here you are.
I am. I'm here.
And you are on the flip side of running a Kickstarter campaign. And I know other people are, like, just starting theirs. There's always Kickstarters going on. So we're going to talk about that. It was your Dr. Goyle comic book series.
Correct.
And it was a very charming, adorable, all-ages comic book that, we try to get the word out as best as we can when the campaign is running. And you did reach goal. And
A little extra, which is always nice.
Yeah, with a little bit extra. So explain to the good folks what Dr. Goyle is and who he is and why they should have read it and order it now.
Well, pretty much back in 1998, I was working with Mike Norton, who everyone loves because of his great online comic Battle Pug and all the other stuff he does, like Revival and It Girl and the Atomics. Well, we were doing some work on The Badger when it was at Image Comics. And, we're just like, why don't we do some of our own stuff, How about, if we... There's not enough comics out there that were, aimed towards kids. Everything was still kind of in that dark, gritty, stuff that was going on between Marvel, DC, and, the comic industry was still reeling from, damn near total collapse. And like, how about we do something like this? And we just kind of started coming up with ideas. And, late one night I was just kind of, coming up with stuff and watching, The Tick on, when that was on Saturday mornings, watching some of that. And I thought, how about something like this, kind of a superhero type guy who's not really a superhero, but he's, he's got maybe some monsters, kind of a monster fighter. And what if he kind of looks like a monster? And so we just, I just started coming up with ideas and giving them to Mike. And pretty much we, Dr. Goyle was born. He's an ancient wizard who, was a monster fighter and got turned into a stone gargoyle. But luckily for him, when he got turned into a stone gargoyle, he fell on all his magical chemicals and was able to gain, motion and movement, but he was trapped. So he still, continued to fight monsters and, went to, try to learn how to undo, this spell, but, and really pretty much found out he couldn't. So instead he just kept learning about everything and being, super smart. And he has a sidekick named Wilbur, who's a super genius, and they work out of the Kirbytronics laboratory and, fight monsters and supervillains. And pretty much I kind of took my love of the early Scooby-Doo episodes that I always used to watch when I was a kid and threw a little bit of Johnny Quest super technology in there and, my love of all things Kirby and, monster fighting and just, wanted to make it humorous and have it be funny, have something that wasn't, all, dark and scary and just be like, okay, let's have some fun with monsters. Let's have just goofy monsters.
It never gets old to me. Never.
No, well, it's more fun too to come up with like really goofy monsters than and having like, oh, look, here's a, you know, here's another vampire or another werewolf. It's like, so we, you know, we just come up and have all sorts of like different weird monsters. I mean, we had a giant woolly bear caterpillar in the first issue we ever did, and that was the monster. You know, that it attacked the World Wool Expo. I mean, who else is going to write that stuff but me?
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was some alcohol involved, I think, in doing that first issue of just some of the stuff that I was coming up with. It was like, damn, this would be really good. Just write this down.
Well, yeah. one of my curiosities about storytellers is where they get their ideas. Like, where, you know, because there's a debate as to whether or not you can force art, you know, whether, you know, it's like when it's dictated, you want to write or you want to draw or whatever, just sit down and do it. It's like, so you sit down and if you know, I don't want to say that it's writer's block necessarily, but sometimes the ideas just they're not there that day.
Yeah, I know for me, it's like, I've always, now that I do a weekly webcomic, coming up with ideas is not always easy. I mean, especially if you're doing something that's, you know, kind of like a one-shot idea each time you're doing it. I mean, that's the one thing I wanted to do with Dr. Goy was make them all, you know, standalone issues that you didn't have to buy all of them to figure out what's going on. You know, each one was a self-contained story.
That's a lot to come up with.
Yeah, I mean, because you got to, you know, you got to come up with your beginning, middle, and end. You got to have it wrapped up in 22 pages or, you know, however long you're going to do it. And a lot of it was just like, you know, it's weird. Some of it just, you know, some ideas that just kind of boom pops in my head. It's like, oh wow, that'd be great, you know, or I don't think anybody's done this. And then other times you're just there going, oh God, what am I going to do? And no, you know, you're just gritting your teeth and, you know, hoping you can pull something out of your ass in time to get it done. You know, there's been many a times with my webcomic that I've, you know, it's like, okay, this thing posts up on Wednesday. Okay, it's Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. I got to come up with something like right now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. So the webcomic we're talking about is Pub Dread, and you can find that very easily. Because, like, you're in your studio, like, every day is a different person's strip is going up. Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I've got way too many things, you know, way too many irons in the fire right now. I mean, I can be working on probably working on Pub Dread, I can be working on Dr. Goyle, I can be working on any of the three or four books that I'm inking, you know, at any time. It's, you know, it's never boring, because at least I always have something different to work on, you know.
Right.
But, you know, and it's always kind of nice, because at least I can, if I'm stuck on one thing, you know, like, okay, God, I can't come up with an idea for this. Okay, I'll come over here and draw this for a little while, or I'll ink this, and, you know, something will pop in my head. It's like, okay, great, write that down real quick here, finish what you're working on, so at least you have that written down, so you're not, like, going, oh, God, what was that great idea, you know, and then you're trying to figure it out for, you know, 2 hours what the hell that idea was, and, you know, trying not to, you know, have an aneurysm.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, just life gets in the way. You know, you could be sick or, you know,
yeah,
something, or your job schedule could get in the way, or your kid can be sick or whatever it is. And I know when it comes to webcomics, people feel this incredible pressure to stay on schedule, and a lot of times they'll have a bunch of stuff already, you know, they'll have the cushion. I remember with Kevin Freeman, he had Subculture, he and Stan, his artist, Stan Yan, they had, like, a good 8-week cushion in there. And then it was one of those things where it's like, oh, thank God, I just need a break. I just need a mental break. And then, like, you know, 1 week off becomes, like, 2 weeks off.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, I mean, I met about mid-May. I had moved. Me and my fiance moved into our house, and I had the weekend we were moving, I also had a big con that weekend up in Minneapolis. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I don't get back till this time, and then I got to move and do all this. And it's like, I'm not going to have time to do these things. So I did, like, 4 weeks of, like, Pub Dread and, you know, was ahead. And unfortunately, those 4 weeks never got posted due to a communication error between me and the people who were, you know, who were helping me post the strips. And it's like, so I go back and, like, looking at, like, week three, and they're like, hey, here's this one from 3 weeks ago. It's like, did any of these get put up? It's like, oh, geez, man, I totally forgot. It's like, oh, God, you know. So I'm there, it's like, well, so much for my cushion, and, you know, so I'm there trying to get a couple more done so I can, you know, get all these posted at once and get a couple more up. So it's like, okay.
Well, but the good thing if a website is set up easy to use is that when you discover a webcomic, you just, you know, go back to the beginning or, you know, try to find a chapter break or something and pick up at any time, even if you weren't a reader. You know, I don't, because I like to read more in like a digest. I like to just get more story at once instead of like little tastes here and there.
Yeah.
I'll, you know, it'll be like, okay, you know, I haven't visited that webcomic in like a month. Let me go back and catch up.
Yeah, I've been finding that, having that problem, because I'm, like, so behind on a couple that I read, it's like, oh, God, if I try and go back now, I have no clue where I even stopped. And luckily, some of the ones I like, you know, the creators put together, you know, collections in print every, you know, like, once a year.
So great.
I'll just get it then. And
I love it. And then, you know, and it gives you something to when you see them at conventions and stuff. It's like, when a Comic Geek Speak has the Super Show or Wild Pig or whatever, and it's, you know, this wonderful collective of all the indie creators, and they've all got their trades, and it's like, I'd rather just, like, I love it. Just go up, spend $15-$20 on somebody's paperback, get them, they, you know, they're usually doodle something on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah, that's been really nice to do. I mean, I'm hoping to kind of do that when I finish the first year of Pub Dread in December, I'm going to try and, you know, find some way to get them all collected and, you know, do a print version of all of them. Add some little bonus stuff in, because there's some stuff. Because on my personal website, stegart.com, I actually have a gallery of, I put all the Pub Dreads up there every week as well. And also there's like some, you know, there's like, logo designs that I did, and, you know, some character designs that, you know, have never been seen yet into, you know, into the strips. And, you know, there's some extra little goodies there, but I also got some other stuff that I haven't, you know, shown yet that I'm kind of saving for that collection if and when it does appear. Because, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I really like, is all the kind of the behind the scenes.
Extras are fun. Sort of like commentary on you know, on tracks on DVDs. That's fun. I like seeing the thought process, which is why I podcast about it, because I just think it's, you know, it's fun to delve into. And I, you know, I can remember as a kid, the first time I ever saw a comic, I was clueless as to how a comic could be made. I had no idea that it was more than one person involved. I didn't know anything about that. You know, it was, I opened the book, I saw pictures.
Yeah, and I knew a little bit about it, but it wasn't until I actually went to a con. I lived down in California for a couple of years, and the first year I was there, I went to the San Diego con. And, you know, I'm there walking around, and, you know, like, wow, it's like, and seeing, you know, I actually saw publisher booths. I mean, DC's booth was, like, smaller than my living room of my house. They had, like, four tables that were, like, you know, so it was, like, a cube and
something.
A bunch of different people. And it was really cool. And Marvel was, like, right next to them. And Marvel's booth was, like, this long part of a wall. And they had, like, a bunch of tables set up. And I'm watching, like, and at the DC booth, there's, you know, Jack Kirby is signing comics. And, like, on a table next to him is, like, Alan Moore was there, you know, autographing comics. It was, like, his first U.S. appearance. And on the other side, Gil Kane is there drawing, like, a Green Lantern, and everyone's watching him do this. And he's doing, like, this Green Lantern. He's inking it with a Sharpie on this piece of board that's, like, you know, a foot and a half by, like, 2 feet. And it's, like, holy crap. And, you know, I was actually watching him do this, and it's, like, wow. You know, that was kind of my first of, like, here's somebody drawing the comic.
That's so cool. What an amazing experience to have as, like, something so early on for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the one thing, because, I mean, I loved comics. I mean, as a kid, it was, like, one of the first things I was, you know, reading. And, you know, I always kind of wanted, you know, I loved art and drawing. And, I mean, pretty much at the age of, like, 10, I'm like, well, God, I really would love to draw comics. And my parents were like, well, you know, it's not something, it's like, it's not like you can't do that. And, you know, so I would just, like, you know, copy pieces out of comics and, you know, draw characters and this and that. And luckily for me, you know, I was able to meet creators and, you know, through the comic shop owners of the comic stores I went to, and, you know, it was kind of like this whole, here, meet these people, I'll introduce you to these people, you know, these actual comic guys, and they can kind of talk to you about stuff. It's like, wow, this is awesome, you know, it was like kind of like the rock star treatment.
That's really amazing. We love seeing kids, you know, of all sorts of, you know, ages wander into Comic Fusion, because it's usually that their parents are bringing them. They bring their babies. I mean, now they start them so young. And, you know, when there's great things out there, like anything Art and Franco do.
Oh, I know. I mean, those guys rock. I met Art at a show in Elgin, Illinois, back in July. And, you know, we were just talking about stuff and this and that. And, you know, he's very receptive, and, you know, he's actually very receptive, too, because with the Aw Yeah comics, I mean, they're like going, hey, you know, we're taking submissions, so I'm actually going to, I got a couple of little stories I wrote up that I'm going to see if they're interested in. But, I mean, I love all that stuff that they've been doing is fantastic, because they can, you know, take any character and just make it, you know, kid-friendly without dumbing it down for adults as well. I mean, I love all those things to do, because I can look at it and go, this is fantastic. I mean, it's entertainment. That's what comics are. They're forms of entertainment, and they entertain.
I'm always just absolutely in awe when I see that. Like, the fact that there's Archie and Kiss in the same book, and I haven't read them, but I know that this exists. And I'm like, you know what, I don't know what the Kiss comics were like. I don't know if they're humor or what, you know, what they are. But when I think of, you know, sort of like the monkeys, like, because the monkeys, you know, had a TV show and stuff like that. When I think about how they take, you know, this element from one area of entertainment and then they turn it into something completely different. Like, oh, sure, here's this heavy metal rock band that, you know, people think are Satanists, and we're going to put them in Archie comics. You know, it's, and it works, and it's successful.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, you know, that's the one thing I think that the bigger companies like Marvel and DC are not really kind of realizing, is that, you know, fans, you know, are not stupid. They don't, you know, you don't just have to say, oh, well, we're going to do this and they're going to buy it. Not necessarily. If you do something, a good comic, yes, you know, they will be bought, because, you know, the fans will look and go, wow, this is really good. I like this. But if you're going to say, oh, we're going to do this, you know, and we'll get it because they have no choice, wrong. They have a choice. They'll be like, yeah, I'm not buying it because it's garbage. You know, that's the one thing that really inspired me to make Dr. Goyle, is that there wasn't really anything for kids. And I knew, you know, being a fan of comics, I saw what was going on, you know, in the 90s. I mean, I worked at Marvel. I worked at DC. And, you know, yeah, it was great to be working in ink and books and stuff like that. But still, I could see it's like, you know, as a fan, it's like, God, I wouldn't buy this crap. You know, it was like they weren't looking at stuff and saying, what do the fans want? You know,
right?
What do fans really want? It's like, yeah, a lot of people like Spider-Man, but, you know, are, you know, 25 Spider-Man books necessary? Probably not.
Yeah, people always say that about Wolverine, Spider-Man, and Batman. You know, it's like it gets, you know, why isn't there anything else? Why isn't there anything original? And the cool thing about a character like Spider-Man is because you can take this broad range. You can you can do a grittier, darker Spider-Man for, you know, adults, and then you can, you know, have the Marvel Adventures for kids version and stuff like that. But there's no reason that other characters can't go through that as well. It's why cartoons are so, you know, to me it's mind-boggling. I'm like, you pull this stuff off when you make an animated series like Wonder Woman, who had a great freaking animated movie. And then
I have yet to see that, but I heard it's just awesome as hell.
It is. And
I've missed a lot of those animated movies.
I've missed a lot of them too. I really have.
The trickle now is like, you know, the fact that, you know, Amazon Prime has so much good stuff on it. It's like going, oh yeah, I think I need to get caught up on some of this.
Yeah. And then, you know, but it's like for the, you know, this one Wonder Woman animated series, there's like, she has one title. I think she might appear in something else. Like somebody was just writing how she made an appearance in the Smallville comic. I don't know if it's supposed to be the same continuity. I have no idea. But, you know, then there's the constant, every single day there's a new article on, and I love that it's, like, literally going mainstream, like, articles on CNN or The Guardian or whatever, like, talking about why isn't there a Wonder Woman movie yet. It's, like, it's not just our nerd blogs yelling about the complete imbalance between characters. Like, we've seen Batman, we've seen Superman, and, you know, Wonder Woman is one of these characters that you could have a kid's version of and have a younger audience comic series, and you could have her regular, because it can be a very violent book. You could you know, you keep the adult version. That's the, you know, one of my friends was saying, he's like, Wonder Woman is a hard balance for that reason, because if you make it too kid-friendly, the adults are going to get pissed. And if you make it, you know, the opposite, then, you know, like, people are saying, like, oh, I can't give this Wonder Woman comic to my daughter now. And which is a shame, because I guess Grant Morrison's writing it.
Yeah, so that's the one thing. I mean, when I was...
It can be violent.
Yeah, well, that was the one thing when I was doing... One of the big things that really pushed me to create Dr. Oil was the fact that I'm like, you know, I looked at the comic industry, and it was like, you know, here's what we're seeing is, like, you know, there weren't new readers coming in. There wasn't anything... There were a few good, you know, kid-friendly books out there. Being Bone was still going on, you know, there were a couple here and there. But as far as new readership, which was needed at that time, you know, in the late 90s, of trying to get people back into reading comics, especially, you know, younger kids, there was hardly anything. And, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of other creators were like, oh, you know, we're thinking the same thing. It's like, you know, what are we going to do? Because, you know, the kids are, you know, it's like, oh, they got video games, they got this, they don't need comics, you know. They can read comics when they're younger, and then they'll be like, eh, I don't need this. You know, I want my instant gratification, you know, through video games or something else. I'm not going to read comics. And the key was, like, you know, you got to get, you know, get the kids in young and let them know that, hey, there's lots of comics you can keep reading, you know, however many years you want to do it, you know. But, you know, here's the, you want to have enough for them to be able to, you know, decide what they want to get. You don't want to be like, oh, here's only five you get, you know.
Right. And now, like, let's talk about how you as a creator address this, because Dr. Goyle is for all ages. And then you've got Pub Dread, which you can see is, it's not going to be, I don't think your content's going to be nearly as adult as Buffy, but... At the same time, you talk about adult things like, you know, their jobs. You know, a kid might not care about reading, you know, about somebody's job, no matter how funny it is. Like, what's this vampire doing today? Or, you know, what's Cthulhu up to?
Yeah, that was the one thing with, what I wanted to do with Pub Dread was, I, you know, it was always my kind of favorite thing was watching Deep Space Nine and seeing Quark's Bar. Because you've had, like, you know, you had all these aliens go on there. It's like, okay, well, you know, what is a pub to this alien like? You know, what is a pub to this alien? You know, what is it? What is their experience that they, you know, that they look for when they go to a pub? It's like, and to them, it's like, what is a pub to them? You know, is it, you know, some sort of place to relax? Is it some sort of religious experience? I know for some people it's a religious experience, but thank God there's alcohol.
Exactly.
But yeah, and that's kind of what I thought. It's like, because I've always wanted to do something that was, you know, for me, a lot of times creating stuff, it's like, it's all about names, you know, this coming up, taking words, putting them together and go, you know, what could you do? It's like these two words, like, this sounds kind of cool. What, you know, what would be here? And I was thinking, I saw something that was like talking about, it was a movie, it was called Club Dread, and it was like some horror slasher flick or something, and I thought, you know, it almost, it's like, that would be the name of like a bar, would be like Pub Dread. I thought, you know, that would actually make kind of a cool web, you know, make kind of a cool comic, and I originally hadn't really thought about doing it as a web comic, and I'm like, you know, well, maybe for, you know, for time's sake, and, you know, just I could do it as a web comic, and, you know, and I just kind of thought, what would, you know, monsters do, you know, kind of like how the whole Monsters, Inc. thing was, what do they do? Oh, they go and, you know, they go and clock in at a job, and their job is to scare kids. You know, well, what if that was the same with all monsters? You know, what if you had, like, you know, the serial killer, what do they do when they're not out, you know, mass murdering people? You know, what do, you know, vampires do? And just kind of all the gamut of well, not all vampires are going to be like this, you know, not all, you know, werewolves will be like this, and just different creatures. And I just started coming up with names and creatures, and like going, okay, obviously this kind of guy would do, like, with the, like, Chuck Thulu, you know, I thought, that would have to be, you know, something like,
that's great.
You know, I thought, this guy would have to be middle management. He would probably just have to be stuck in somewhere where, like, he just deals with, like, you know, the crap. You know, it's like, everything falls on him to take care of. You know, it's like, yep, that's middle management. You know, definitely, and that would have to be him. You know, it's like, put a tie on him, put a name tag on him.
Yeah, I know, I love that. I love that you see, like a suit and tie, and then the tentacles. And it's like, and it, you've got the sort of, the, like the, not Charlie Brown, more like the Tom and Jerry perspective of, like, you're only seeing, like, what the average character's height is.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing this whole body in the frame ever.
And a lot of that, I thought, was kind of almost part of me being lazy, but I thought, like, it would work the best because it's like, you know, how would, you know, you wouldn't be able to see him. I mean, Cthulhu is supposed to be, like, you know, huge and just, you know, greater than all, and just like going, well, fine, here's what you're going to see then in, you know, this one space, you know. And a lot of other characters too, I mean, where I thought of, you know, my favorite one I always like to do, though, is, I've had a couple people who've seen the strip, their favorite is Roger the Serial Killer Short Order Cook, just because of the,
yeah,
you know, the lack of expression, because, you know, he's just got this mask on, you don't see anything. And when I was originally kind of coming up with him, I was, like, doodling in a sketchbook, and I kind of, my friend Stacy, who does a great webcomic called Tribute Waters, I was just drawing, and I started drawing, like, different things. I drew, like, one of him, like, with kind of, like, this tiki head, and I drew one of them, like, with this tutu on. She goes, oh, my God, you could, like, make paper dolls of him, you know, and just have all these little things on there. And that's kind of how Roger, like, develops this expressionless face, but it's just like, okay, here's a guy who actually does all sorts of other things besides, you know, being a serial killer and short order cook.
Yeah, that reminds me of one of the webcomics that I love is Kirby Miller Serial Killer. And
never
it's,
heard of that. That's awesome.
It's so simple. Like, the teddy bear is evil and satanic, has, like, you know, so it's like this cute teddy bear but with horns and he's very evil. And it's all black and white lines, like, no, you know, nothing fancy as far as that goes. And when Kirby is in the panel, it's sort of like, you could tell that it's just like taking the character, you know, copying and dumping him, because it's all about the human, the interaction between them and the humor that happens in their, just their banter, you know, about this guy talking to this satanic teddy bear. Without needing a lot of like interpretations of art, even the lettering, it's like there's no balloons. It's just the font and a line drawn to which one of them is speaking, and you know it's just so clever. So I mean that's kind of like Pub Dread. It's like there's a way that you've taken it, and it's like that a single camera TV show. Like The Office or Parks and Rec or whatever.
Well, a big of that I really like was one of my favorite ones was a strip that always was appearing in The Onion, just called Red Meat. And all it was like these stock little drawings that would be just put in there, and it would all that would be changed would be like the dialogue. And I'm like, because I kind of wanted to do just very simple, always kind of the same point of view, you know. Very, you know, limited amount of characters and just, you know, start doing stuff around these. And it's really seemed to work. I mean, I've added like probably one or two other little characters here and there that have just been kind of, you know, it's kind of a little break from, you know, the main ones just to kind of change it up a little bit. Because you can only do so many strips with, you know, Chuck Thulu, you know, in a row.
But you've got a cast of characters at least.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, but also too, it's nice to change up and throw different ones in. I mean, I added the, had one of a werewolf just for one thing. That was kind of fun. And I've had a zombie character now show up like twice. And, you know, but I mean, one of my favorite ones to kind of do now lately is Phil the Blob. Just cause, you know, it's this little blob with eyes. And, you know, and just some of the ideas I've been able to do, it's like with him has been this, like, God, you know, I could almost make a strip of just him, just of all this other crazy stuff. It's like, I think I would just go nuts.
It's so fun. It's so fun to take, you know, to take that, those elements of horror. That's why I tweeted the other day, because it sort of, it dawned on me, it, like, every once in a while, because I end up at things like the horror conventions, and I'm like, why am I at this convention? Like, I don't know any of this stuff. And then, you know, luckily I'll know artists who still love things like the old Universal monsters.
Oh yeah, that's for me, that's the stuff I love. I can't stand any of this new horror stuff.
So yeah, it's just, I cringe at this new stuff. I can't sit through it. And, you know, I'm just like, I am the biggest pansy. Like, I am afraid of everything. And I can't watch certain things, like, if it's too dark. Like, I can't watch Supernatural at night. And Supernatural, come on. I mean, it's, you know, it's like Buffy. It's,
yeah,
it's not like it's that bad, but there are times with just, like, the way they film it, and it's creepy enough and it's dark enough, and I can't do it. And even shows that are, they're all about suspense, like Medium. I can't deal with this stuff if it's, you know, when I'm right before bed.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I've been watching a marathon of Medium or something like that, I need to put on, like, an episode of Psych right before I fall asleep.
Yeah, just to have something lighthearted.
Yeah, have something, yeah.
Out there with night terrors.
Yeah, so that's why when I tweeted the other day about, I'm like, if you guys like horror the way that I like horror, which is not horror, I need this sense of humor in it with supernatural stuff.
Yeah, well, one character I actually had to come up with because I have of a person I had worked with, I was Gilbert. Or should say Count Gilbert, as he likes to be called.
Right, right.
Because somebody I used to work with was like, just was a Twilight fan beyond all Twilight fans. I mean, just, it was like, oh my God, this. I'm like, really? You know, if Bela Lugosi were alive, you'd be slapping the crap out of him.
I know. Whole, like, Edward Cullen and meets Blade thing. It's like, yeah, it's like, we need that to happen. We need Blade.
Like, just do it. You know, but I mean, I just had to come up, with a vampire character that was just annoying as hell. That was just like, oh God, can you just please leave? You know, and it wasn't so much like, you know, annoying in a way that was like, oh, nobody understands him. It was like, no, he's just annoying. You know, it's like just a snot little, you know, punk who's like, just like, oh, well, da, 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 da. I'm a vampire. It's like, yeah, so what? You know, big deal.
Yeah, it's like, that's not special here.
Yeah, and just like, nobody cares, you know. But it's I think coming up with the strips for him are more fun, because it's like, okay, what just kind of, you know, snide comment can I make? What kind of you know, things can I do that can make him look like a complete utter idiot, you know? Like, oh yeah, this'll work, you know. Like this last week's strip when I had him, you know, eating a piece of garlic bread on a dare, and he's like, you know, face is like puffed up, distorted, and
yeah, you know,
grotesque. I'm like, yeah, that'll work.
Yep, because that's the sort of thing that, you know, in our reality TV centric world, that would happen. You know, well, even before that, I think people did stupid dares, eating goldfish and fried worms and whatever.
Yeah.
How has, because basically at this point, since you're living together, you're a parent now, so how has that changed anything? Because this, from what I understand, I mean, these are the kind of stories you would have told, you know, if you were just a single bachelor living on your own and stuff like that, but yet, so I don't know how much, if anything, was influenced by having this new family.
Not a huge amount really was influenced. I mean, it was pretty sudden. I mean, My fiance Jen and I have only been together for a little over a year, and we just kind of moved in just this last May, you know. But I mean, we are very, you know, mindful of what, you know, influences are out there. I mean, I only show, you know, her daughter, you know, Emily, you know, the kind of the things that, you know, I feel are age appropriate for her. You know, it's not one of those things like, oh, well, she's, you know, she's a kid, I'm just going to, you know, show her all the stuff I'm working on. I mean, a lot of stuff I work on is not, you know, kid-friendly, you know, but, you know, I make sure, you know, the Dr. Glow stuff, that I show her that, you know, some of the other stuff I want to develop, I want to, you know, let her see. But, you know, I've always kind of been mindful of that in, you know, the stuff, the work that I do. You know, whenever I've done conventions and commissions and stuff, you know, commissions and conventions, you know, there are certain things I won't do. I've turned down, you know, some, you know, commission requests because I didn't really feel comfortable with the subject matter. And some of that's just, you know, was my personal choice. And people, oh, come on, dude, you're an artist, you know, it's make a paycheck. It's like, well, yeah, there's make a paycheck, but there's also having to be comfortable with what you're drawing.
Yeah, you have to be able to sleep at night, and if you won't be, then that's fine. Because I know there are plenty of artists who do, where they, you know, they'll take bizarre fetish porn requests or whatever, and even if it's like, don't put my name on it, but here's your piece, you know. But other people won't. They have their boundaries, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing. I mean, for me, growing up is, you know, my parents were like pretty much like, oh, no, you're not going to go see this art movie when you're, you know, 14 years old. No, you're not going to do this. They were, you know, they were parents in the truest sense of, like, I'm here to look out for you and your best interest, and, you know, this is how it's going to be. And if you don't like it, well, that's too bad for you. You know, I'm here to be your parent, not your best friend, and do all this. And that's kind of how, you know, I've been. It's like, it's just, you know, there's stuff that I like to do and there's stuff that I don't like doing, and that's just how it is. It's like, go down and see all these guys down this way in this art, you know, Rove Artist Alley. I'm sure they'll draw all that for you and, you know, be happy to do it, but I'll take a pass on it. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, the whole creating stuff and now, you know, being a parent, I don't think it's really, you know, all that different. It's changed my work habits a bit, because now it's instead of, oh, yeah, I'm just going to hang out at home and, you know, I don't have anything to do. I'll just knock out 3 pages today and I'll just do this and, you know, oh, I don't have to hang out with anybody. I got a day off today. I'm going to, you know, I'll ink 6 pages and do all this and work, you know, 12 hours today. You know, I really got to budget my time. You know, I have work and I come home and I have a family to take care of and, you know, spend time with, and there's homework and, you know, there's stuff around the house. There's mowing the lawn and, you know, honey-do lists and, you know, all that sort of domestic stuff. But I think overall it's actually, you know, made me a better creator, as far as now that, you know, I'm a little more inspired with what I do and, you know, things like that. It's not so much, do whatever. But I'm actually, you know, pushing myself to try and, you know, work faster and be better, which is good for any artist or any type of creative person. You know, be able to, you know, work faster and do good work is always a definite bonus. But it's good stuff. You know, I'm digging it.
It's good. It's good because I know. I mean, everybody's got ups and downs. Everybody's, you know, even like Frank Cho recently has been sort of cryptic in what he's putting on Facebook. But he's been, I don't know what's going on there, but there's ups and downs in his world, and you look at somebody like Frank Cho and it's like, dude, you're on top of the world. What could be going wrong? But you just don't know. You might not know what's going on behind the scenes for somebody and their career.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's happened so often. I mean, I know, you know, creators who, yeah, they're doing great and they're, you know, wow, they're doing all this work and they're going to these shows, but then it's like, but their home life is a mess because that's all they're doing. You know, you know, they're like, well, this is what I'm doing. It's like, well, you're never home. I mean, somebody I used to work with at Marvel, you know, it was like, wow, we were doing really good and on some books and sales were great. But at home, his, like, you know, it was just a mess, you know. He ended up getting divorced soon after, you know, the birth of, you know, about a year after the birth of his child. He and his wife split up and, you know, it was just.
That happens, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, and then with being kind of a creative type, it's, you know, it's tough. I mean, I'm so very, you know, lucky that Jen is very supportive of what I do, and, you know, totally understands. Like, I know you have to have time to do all this, and, you know, that's cool. I want to give you that time, but also we need time from you, and, you know, this and that. So she understands, you know, both sides of the coin that, you know. You know, things like that. So that's really cool. I mean, I've had a previous relationship where that wasn't so much the case. You know, it was,
Yeah.
It was like, oh, what do you mean? What are you doing this? It's like, this with this hobby of yours. And it's like, excuse me, hobby? Hello?
Doing
this 20 years, you can cut out that hobby shit.
Yeah, right? Unfortunately, when it's not like you know, the paycheck that people think is, you know, highest or whatever. But this even happened with modeling. This really pissed me off yesterday. Some photographer got really douchey with me because of my modeling rates. And, I mean, mind you, his messages to me were very nice. And I told him, you know, no, I'm not available during the week anymore because I have a day job now. And he was just like, oh, well, this is my job. And I don't like to work on the weekends. And I'm like, I just wanted to reach through the screen and throttle him because I'm like, dude, I've, you know, been modeling for 4 years. I couldn't make a pass at any kind of living with how unstable the work is. How it's like I'd have a great month and then a month of nothing because things run, they tend to run like school semesters, you know. I work for a lot of art schools and museums and stuff. So it's like, you know, I could have a really good month, but then I could have a month of literally not one appointment. Yeah. So, you know, it's like for this asshole to try and make me feel bad because I had to get a day job. I'm like, you know, fuck you, buddy. You know, it's like I know plenty of artists and writers who all have to have the suck day job. And hopefully it doesn't suck. I mean, a lot of the artists do graphic arts. At least they're somehow being creative somewhere along the line. You know, good for them. But, you know, hey, the rest of us do whatever. I mean, do whatever gives you a paycheck and health benefits.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly me. And that's kind of one reason why I wanted to do the webcomic and, you know, bring Dr. Goyle back was like, you know, it was becoming like very sporadic of trying to find inking work, much less, you know, inking work that was paying anything because so many people were like, oh, yeah, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, it's a royalty deal and this and that, and we're not really making anything, but we really need you. And it's like, okay, you know, a lot of it was cool because I was, you know, working with friends, and I knew they weren't going to be the kind of people that's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make money and screw you on, you know, type of deals.
Yeah, I mean, The things like The Walking Dead, I mean, those sort of successes are so rare.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you don't want to ever ruin a good working relationship or a good friendship just because you want to team up on a comic together. And, you know, and then somewhere along the line, you know, success hits and changes everything.
Yeah. But it was also, I mean, as much fun as I have, you know, working with friends, I mean, right now, everything, all the projects I'm developing and working on are all with people I know and people I've worked with. And we're all like, well, you know, both of us going in on this, it's like there's not going to be any, you know, screwing over of money. It's like none of us have any. So if we're going to make money, we're both going to make money. But it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, I want to do comics. I want to make comics. Like, I can't depend on, you know, hoping that someone say, hey, we need an anchor on this or, you know, because I had a couple of jobs, it was like, well, we decided to just go and, you know, shoot from the pencils instead. It's like, oh, okay, great. And, you know, but doing the webcomic and doing some of this other stuff, it's like, you know, I'm a creator. I'm going to create my own stuff. That way, you know, I'm working. I'm working on stuff. I'm making the comics. I don't have to depend on anybody else to come to me and say, hey, want to make a comic with us? It's like, nope, I don't need to. I'm making my own, you know. And that's what's so great about, I mean, being a creator, kind of, I think, at this time, is that you're not limited to working for Marvel, DC, whoever, you know. It's like, okay, I'm going to go spend $20 on a website, you know, $12 on a domain name, and I'm going to make my comic, I'm going to put it up. You know, boom.
That's great.
You know, it was so interesting because, you know, a couple weeks ago, some people were, you know, a lot of us were all talking on Twitter about different things, and, you know, especially with, you know, people making comics, like, oh, how do I get in the comic biz? And my thing was like, here's my, you know, this was my advice on, here's how you get into the comic biz. Make your comic, boom, you're in.
You're now in the business, yeah.
Now you're in the business. That's all there is to it. You know, have whatever, you know, make your story, draw it, put it up somewhere, be it print, be it on the web, you know, be it, I don't care if it's on your Facebook page or your Blogspot or whatever it is, put it out. Congratulations, you're now a comic creator. Just do the work. You know, just make your comic. You know, don't stand around and I'll be sitting around like, well, I want to, here's kind of my idea, but I don't know what, it's like, you know, get it done. Just, you know, put it together, get it done, get it out there, you're a creator. Keep doing it, you're a creator. You know, that's how you do it. You just got to keep going. You know, and it's taken me, you know, a long time to just kind of realize that too. It's like, you know, as many times where it was like, God, why is this not working? Why am I not doing this? It's like, just do it. You know, don't wait around for other people to, you know, do it with you. Do it yourself. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's
collaborating is great, though.
I was going to say, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit different for somebody like you because you are a creator in every aspect. You do the art, and you are perfectly capable of writing your own stories, whereas, you know, some of the rest of us only have one of those skills on a good day. but that's when the collaboration has to come up and we have to do things like, you know, just get to know each other. And when you click with somebody, you click, and that's the beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I've been kind of lucky that, you know, the last, you know, 2 years, it's kind of been weird to have people who's like, hey, I'd really like to work with you on something. It's like, huh? You know, it's like, yeah, would you want to draw something? And I'm like, huh? You know, because it's like, yeah, I mean, my artistic skills, I mean, they're not bad. I mean, I'm a really good anchor. My penciling, you know, not so much. But people say, well, I really like when you drew this. I mean, I drew that, you know, do-it-yourself guide to surviving the zombie apocalypse book. And all of a sudden after, it's like, well, you do these awesome zombies, and they're really funny. And I'm like, okay, there's words I've never kind of thought people would, you know, associate me with, but okay, that's cool. I'll take my niche.
Yeah, you know? somebody recognized something, and you didn't even know it was happening. So that's
yeah.
So cool.
And it was a couple people. You know, it was the same. Well, you know, I really like how you did this because you approach it with a very more, you know, lighthearted stuff, and you can do the kind of, you know, dark humor. And I'm like, well, that's the thing. I try to find humor in everything. Sometimes it's not as appropriate as others, but, you know, I think, though, too, if you can't find, you know, humor in a lot of stuff, it's, you know, it makes you kind of angry.
Well, let's talk about conventions before we wrap things up, because I know there's some people that have the opportunity to do an ass ton of conventions, and then some of us only do, like, a couple, maybe, or whatever. They just do one. Like, some people just do San Diego because it's so ridiculously expensive. So what does your convention calendar look like in a normal year?
Usually anywhere between 4 to 7. I know 1 year I had, a bunch going on. This year was a little bit limited as far as larger conventions, but I'm doing a few smaller ones. I've been trying to do more local stuff, more Midwest, you know, stuff being out here in Wisconsin, and, you know, there's been a lot more stuff popping up around, so I've been kind of doing a few more of those, but I always do SpringCon, which is what's called. It's up in Minneapolis. It's every May, big 2-day convention, awesome show, one of the best shows around. I mean, it's run by fans, and their whole thing is it's about comics and the creators. It doesn't matter if you do, you know, a comic that you do on postcards that you, you know, print out of your basement. You know, if you say, hey, I'd like to come to your convention, they'll be like, sure, no problem. Here's your table. Glad to have you there. I mean, I started going there 20 years ago, you know, when I first started doing comics. This was before I even did stuff in Marvel and DC, and, you know, couple of guys who were from Minneapolis, Peter Krause and Gordon Purcell, were like, hey, you should come to the show. And I've missed like two out of the last, you know, 23, you know, like 22 years I've been going.
That's really cool.
I mean, it's a fabulous show. It doesn't matter what you do, you're treated with equal respect. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, indie, you know, Marvel, DC, and they bring in...
That just sounds like remarkable. I mean, because the conventions that I've been to are so not like that at all. Like you've got your celebrity creators, And then you've got everybody else that actually, you know, keeps things running from day to day. I mean, celebrity carriers have their place. They certainly do. I mean, sometimes stardom seems to come overnight, but it's like, you know, it's the guy, I always think that this is so funny. It's the guys who are struggling or whatever to, in order just to pay for like an artist alley table or a small press booth or something like that. But it's the guys who already have the success that are like given.
Yeah.
Like they're given the booth space or whatever.
Yeah. That's what I always found was interesting. But yeah, but I mean, SpringCon is fabulous. I mean, all the creators, you get a free table. You know, a lot of times you'll end up, you know, splitting with people. You can request, like, hey, I'd like to sit next to, you know, my friend. Like, sure, no problem, we'll take care of you. And on Saturday night, they have a steak fry dinner where pretty much all the creators, it's like, here, we're going to feed you steak and come and hang out and just socialize and have a good time.
Well, I know that AppleseedCon is that welcoming and everything, too. Like, everybody is just, you know, seems to be on the same kind of ground. And, you know, Zach runs a good show.
Yeah, I've heard that one is pretty cool. I might have to look into that for next year. And
yeah, and again, like they only have, I think, 100 tables for creators, but they don't pay for them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's why they did things like have a Kickstarter in order to make sure that the expenses are covered some other way.
Yeah, but I think that's, you know, that's a great way because, I mean, it shows that, hey, you know, doesn't matter, you know, who you are, you're all, you know, you're part of this creative group, you know, and you are welcome to come and, you know, try to show people your stuff.
That's why I like it too. Yeah, because it's like you don't even feel like the terrible, you know, to bring it even up at this point, but the gender issues that are going on, like, you know, oh, you're a female creator in comics. Oh, you know.
Oh, that I'm so.
You're only going to be on a panel when we have a women's in comics panel, and you know it's like, well, what?
Yeah, that's.
And yet you've worked for some of the greatest ones. Like, I mean, like Laura Martin, and I mean.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous, but yeah. But what's also, I mean, what's great about, you know, with SpringCon too is that they bring in, you know, like golden silver age creators every year, you know, they'll try and get some different ones, you know, all the time, you know, just so people can see, you know, like, here, meet these people. These were the guys who started this stuff. You know, they were the ones who created the characters that you now see. I mean, they've had one year they had, you know, Ernie Chan, Alex Nino, and Tony DeZuniga. All three of those guys were out one year. And they had a fabulous time, and everyone was like, oh, man, these guys are here. I mean, they were selling prints and doing sketches. I mean, these guys were making bank at the show. They're going, we can't believe all these fans were coming to see us. It's like, you guys are legends, you know. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, we've had, you know, Rich Buckler out. They had Pablo Marcos. They've had, you know, Keith Kohler. The Silver Age, you know, guys, they've had, you know, Golden Age guys, it's, you know, and it's great because for creators who grew up, you know, seeing the art and reading, you know, the stories that all these guys did, it's like, hey, these are the guys who, you know, we want to meet too, you know, and hang out with and talk to. So it's always such a good time. And that's my favorite show every year to go to because I get to see, you know, friends. I mean, there are people up there I've known for 20 years. I mean, we're all family now, you know, so it's a great show. But I mean, it's kind of nice that you see more of those shows kind of springing up.
So we're in September now. So your next show is somewhere in Cincinnati. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing Cincy Comic Con, which is its first year at the Northern Kentucky Convention Center, which is odd. It's the Northern Kentucky Convention Center.
Yeah, it's like I am now. My geography skills are now exploding.
Well, all you got to do is go across the river, which I guess is like two blocks away, and then you're in Kentucky. So it's.
Wow, okay.
It's that whole area. It's kind of, you know, it's like, it's Ohio, it's Kentucky, you know, we're just going to conglomerate and share crap, you know, whatever. But I'm doing that show. Then I have Fall Con, which is Spring Con's one-day show up in Minneapolis, and that'll be October 5th. I try to do that pretty much every year as well. And then I'll be doing Icon in Des Moines, Iowa for the first time October 19th. So kind of branching out, doing some different shows. It's kind of nice that some of these are just, you know, I can drive to within a couple hours. And
yeah, that's really nice. It's a one-day show, so it's so refreshing. Because it's like, oh, not like these other shows like Wizard that are expanding how many days they are. And it's like, no, you're...
I mean, I remember when they had them 3 days, and I was like, well, we're doing premiere night, so it's actually, you know, it's like the night before.
Yeah, no, it's too exhausting, and you have to take all these days off, and then you know, either you're taking days off of, like, your paying job, or you're taking days off away from doing your comics in the first place, so...
Yeah.
It's so... Suppose, those big shows, they're just too long.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing Baltimore, and, you know, and even that's just like, wow.
Yeah, a couple friends of mine are doing Baltimore, and she's like, oh my God, it's like going to be just exhausting. It's like, you're the one who chose to do it.
Yeah, Baltimore is like such a great show, though. It's such a better city than, like,
I hear it's a lot of fun. Maybe yeah, sometime I'll do that. There's a couple shows I would really like to do. I would love to do Emerald City, because I hear that.
Oh, me too.
Spectacular. And
yeah, there's such great people out there. Oh, I would love to do that show. That and Heroes. I've never done Heroes Con yet.
I've never done Heroes as well. I've heard some things, you know, some creators are like, yeah, I really love Heroes, and everyone's like, well, it's okay, but it's, but that would be, Heroes would be kind of just a fun one to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things like going, well, I only have so much money, and now with the...
Heck yeah.
You know, an impending, you know, wedding, and I want to go back to school, and, you know, and doing all this other stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, it's not like I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to use this money and go to a show.
Right. But let's get some, let's get your websites and links and all of those places for people to find you. You know, Mark Stegbauer is, they have to be able to spell that, I guess. But that's why I like that you're Inker Mark on Twitter, because I remember you were debating about whether changing your Twitter name, and I'm like, but Inker Mark can be spelled easily.
I know. That's one thing. It's like when I changed signing my name a few years back, and it's like...
Yeah, it's just Steg.
I'm just going to Steg. It's a little bit easier. Less space to have to try and figure out, because when you're doing, you know, if you're inking a cover over somebody, it's like... It's like, well, I just use my initials, and it's like, oh, crap, I've been signing my full name. It's like, oh, okay, 9 letters later, what am I going to do? All right, well, the main website that I have lots of stuff on is my personal website, and that's www.steg-art.com. I got that site there. I can be found on Twitter at @InkerMark. I also have a Facebook fan page that's Mark Stegbauer, Artist of Stuff.
All right.
And I'm on Tumblr at StegArts. I'm on Instagram, just my name. I'm all over the place. Too many things to post to now. It's like, oh, God, I got to post to this.
I know. It's so much maintenance just to have an online presence now.
But if you don't, though, it's like people can't. It's like, oh, well, I don't do Facebook, or I don't do this. It's like, I just do this. It's like, oh, God.
I know. It's like, how do they do that? I realize that their productivity is probably higher, but on the other hand, people might not know how to connect with them, and things like Twitter make fan connectivity so much easier. Like, I was just talking about the new series Lazarus, and because it's issue 3, it just I believe came out last Wednesday maybe, through Image Comics, and it's the new Greg Rucka book, and the artist on it, Michael Lark, happened to catch something I said on Twitter, and he wrote back to me, and I was like, whoa, dude. Like, because I don't even know him. I was just one of those random things where I was surprised that people were bitching about the physical design of the female character, and it's just like, are you freaking kidding? She's spot on, perfectly designed. So he was just like, oh yeah, I didn't pay attention to the letters column yet because I'm busy working. But it was awesome. You know, it's like you put out a tweet like that, and you know, lo and behold, the powers that be respond to you most of the time.
Yeah, I've had a few brushes like that. I remember a few years ago, when I was first kind of on Twitter and following certain people and this and that, and I had Bonnie Burton had done this great thing of talking about with John Cusack when his Poe movie was coming out, and it's like going, like, oh, I'll have him be Edgar Allan Poe with other things. And we had, I had tweeted something of like, Poe Point Blank, and doing a dialogue from Gross Point Blank is like Edgar Allan Poe and something. And she retweeted that out, and John Cusack, like, you know, favorited it. I'm like, holy crap, you know. I was like, oh, dear God, you know.
That's awesome.
Crazy. That is just absolutely nuts.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you for, you know, all of your time today. And,
well,
you know.
Thanks for finally, you know.
Finally, you know, yeah.
Getting there.
All right. And
I feel so bad that it's taken this long.
It's, you know, life happens. Life happens. And people move, and that disrupts so much of life when you move. You know, bless your heart for going through it and coming out in one piece.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm kind of done with this moving thing.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to move for quite a while. I mean, I do, but I don't, because I hate it here. But I can't. I just don't want to move again.
Can I just have someone else do all the crap for me? I'll just sit back and it's like, is it unpacked yet?
Thank you. But thanks. Say thank you to Jen too, so that I always appreciate when the families, you know, put up with all of the commotion.
Oh yeah, she's awesome. She's a best thing that's ever happened to me, so it's good stuff.
All right. Of course, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Elizabeth Amber and AmberUnmasked.com, and, you know, Facebook has a page called Amber Unmasked as well, and everywhere else. So you can download this. I'm guessing if you're listening, hopefully you're listening through either iTunes or Stitcher or directly through the website. But if you are on one of those other apps like iTunes and Stitcher, I think they have feedbacks and ratings and comments and stuff. So, you know, let me know what you think. And I will see everybody at Baltimore Comic Con. Cheers.